Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can you tell me who it is now?
Oh,
you're laughing.
Like, I'm laughing because Glenn Blackwood joins us.
Oh, I like
one of the,
it.
One of the Blackwood brothers played safety along with his brother Lyle in the second. And I just caught him for 2 minutes in the back as he comes on and joins us. And I'm sitting here crying. And everybody's looking at me, why are you crying? I go, because when you think about how immature Glenn and Lyle were when they played, they were just a pleasure to play with. Glenn, thanks, man, for coming on this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction.
Well, let me tell you this, Glenn. The tease before was he was one of the Ben Gay pranksters. That's what I got before, but he wouldn't tell me.
No, the Ben Gay brothers wouldn't tell me who it was.
Yeah, one of the Ben Gay brothers. So it's nice to hear from you, Glenn. Welcome to the show, first off. That should be your real introduction. You should hear the stories that this guy's been saying for the last couple days here. And, of course, your name has been in every one of these stories. So, at this point, I'm just going to sit back and let the two of you guys talk so I can hear more of these stories.
No.
Well, unfortunately, they're all true.
Hey, the story about – Bo tells a story, and we're going to get into all kinds of different stuff, but about – the pads, Dan Marino pads. What happened there exactly? It's been a lot of years. How'd that go down where somebody stole his football pads? Tell me, I want to hear your take on this.
Well, why do you need my take? You were right in the middle of it. And so don't give me this, what did y'all do stuff, you little, pranksters. But we were sitting around camp, and as you know, it's just boring as heck being in that hotel at training camp. And you came down and were in our room because that's what you did. You went around like Rona Barrett and interviewed people. So anyway, we were reading the newspaper. Remember, we were reading the newspaper, and on the way back from Atlanta, we had been scrimmaging the Falcons. And on the way back from Atlanta, somebody stole Marino's equipment gear bag, and Marino was, and there was an article in the paper about it. Marino was talking. He was like, "Oh, I don't have the shoulder pads I've had since high school. They're my favorite shoulder pads." And he's whining and crying and everything. And we're sitting there talking to each other, and we're going, "Oh, poor old Danny. We really feel bad for him." I'm pretty sure, because Lyle didn't think that quick back then, but I looked and I said, what we ought to do? We ought to call the Dolphins and ransom these shoulder pads back and act like we have them, like we're the guys who got them, and we read the article, and then we'll – and so we decided we slated out this whole discussion where we're going to ransom them back for – $20,000 in unmarked bills. And so I picked up the phone to call the office, and Joe goes, "You know what? They're going to recognize your accent, Blackwood. I better do it."
I never heard this part of the story. Wow.
Yeah, and so he takes a towel and puts it over the phone so it muffles his voice. Because, we called over there, and so to cut this story short, they got in a frenzy. They had our security on it. The secretary at the camp, Shula's secretary, Joe goes, "What's that?" He goes, "I feel like you're trying to take the call. I think I'm going to hang up." And the secretary goes, "You're not giving me enough time." And I looked out, and there was all these cars pulling up, and Marino comes pulling up because he went home during during lunch, and he pulls up in his Corvette and skids off. And I looked out and I said, "Man, guys, we're going to get our rear end cut if they find out." It's us calling. Oh, my gosh. And it went on. I mean, there's all sorts of little side roads from them. We gave them the payphone number in the dorm, and a guy was walking by. He didn't know anything about it. He picked the phone up when they were calling because that was the number they're supposed to call to negotiate the transfer.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Hey, Glenn, the one that always stands out, and Brzezinski brought this up yesterday, one of the seven killer bees there, that was pretty funny, Robert Solwell's story. Was that Lyle, or was that Glenn and Lyle, or what was that situation? What
the impetus of that was that Robert Solwell, the smart guy that he was back then, you know, he was walking down through the locker room, and he had decided to take a piece of tape and write, "I'm a a-hole" on it, but he spelled it out. And he went up to my brother, and he patted him on the back, and he had that piece of tape in his hand, so it stuck on my brother. And so I saw it, so I just kind of eased up. My Lala said, "Hey, Lala, Robert just put a piece of tape on your back, says I'm an a-hole."
so immature.
And Lala said, "Well, we'll see about that." And so the next day, he got his equipment bag, it wasn't Ben Gay, though. Ben Gay was we lined it with this stuff called white teak, and it was like 10 times Ben Gay.
Oh, my God.
Stuff. You could not yet. Our trainers had to put surgical gloves to rub us down because they couldn't get it on any part of their body and because it was so hot. And it also matched with the color of the jock.
Right. White jock. You know, and they're always a little wet from the night before. Your stuff was never completely dry. Yeah.
Blended in nicely. And Robert, as only fate would have it, came in late that day and slapped that thing on as quick as he could. All I remember was hearing a roar of laughter from the locker room and hearing this howl from the shower. Oh, and I go in there, and Robert is in the shower swabbing himself, trying to get that stuff off.
Oh, no.
And it gets worse from there, and we probably better shut that down because it gets a little larry after that.
Oh, he had to go to the hospital. Like, he couldn't get it off, and didn't Lyle get called in? Didn't Lyle end up getting fined for that because the guy missed practice?
Oh, he got chewed out, which was worse than a fine. Hey. I mean, when Shula got hold of you and chewed your butt out, you didn't have much left in your pants afterwards.
Hey, you got to tell. It's so many. I could tell stories. I might just blow off all the breaks here.
Oh, please.
So, Glenn, one of the great ones is when your brother got there and he'd been on some different teams. He came in as a veteran and, of course, went on to have a great career, and he's playing with you, and you kind of warned him about, like, hey, at some point, it happens to all of us, everybody, whether you make the team as a rookie or you come over in a trade or as a free agent or whatever it is, you kind of get warned, like, hey, Coach Shula's going to talk to you a little different than you've ever been talked to. And guys go, nah, I've been around this stuff. I'll be fine. Tell that story about telling your brother about playing for Coach.
Yeah, you know, Lyle's 6 years older than me, and so he came in, and I was already here, and you know, he thinks he's like the seasoned vet. He's got it all down. And I said, "Lyle," I said, "I need to tell you about Coach Shula." And I said, "You know, I've been chewed out before, but this guy's special." he has got a way of chewing you out. And I mean, I said, "Look, you just can't take it personal. You've got to just understand that it's nuclear." And so we're playing Kansas City. We're playing Kansas City up in Kansas City. And so when we got now near, and this was a big game, we win the game, we win our division and have home field advantage. So we needed to win the game, to, you know, and Shula's on extra edge in those kind of situations. And so we get down on the goal line and the Kansas City's going in. And back then, Steve Shula would come in and play free safety. And Lyle would go out because they're not going to, you don't have to worry about them throwing the ball that much down the goal line. You want a bigger body in there. And Steve Shula was a backup linebacker. So he'd come in, and usually he came in for Lyle. Well, he comes running into the huddle, and we're a short yard down the goal line. He comes running into the huddle, and Lyle goes running out. Before Shule got there, he saw him coming in, so he's headed on out. Well, when Shule got in the huddle, he goes, Brzezinski! And so Brzezinski goes running out. So Brzezinski goes out, Lyle goes out, that's two out, one in. We only had 10 guys. And so I'm sitting there. I wasn't thinking about that. I was watching their personnel coming in. And so I get up and I'm lined up on the flanker who's a tight end because there's this tight runner formation. And he motions over to the other side, and they got Joe Delaney and this tight end over here. And I turn to my free safety to go in and out. So we're in and out on those two players. We're going to double cut. You know, if the tight end goes in, safety gets him. Back comes out, I get him, or vice versa. And I turn to my safety, and there ain't no safety.
Oh, no.
because Steve Shule had come in for Brzezinski, right. and Lyle's out, and Lyle realized what was going on. He's standing on the sideline, and he looked at Brzezinski. He says, what are you doing out? And he goes, Shule came in for me. He goes, oh, no. So he's standing by Arnsberger. Arnsberger's standing next to Shule. I turn to my safety, and I go, to go in and out, I said, I ain't got no safety. I said, okay, please don't run 119 arrow Q. Please don't run 119 arrow Q, which was a little tight end to the corner of the end zone, running back in the flat, and they tried to stretch the two safeties. And lo and behold, 119 arrow Q. Here it came. Yeah. And they run it.
Wide
and
open.
And so I say, look, you know, I'm covering my guy. So I covered my guy. They throw an easy touchdown. Shule comes unhinged, as he always did. Turns Arnsberger and goes, whose man was that? And Lyle leans around Arnsberger and goes, mine. I swear to you, I came over after the extra point. And my brother was crying on the bench. He had tears coming out of his eyes. He goes, I've never had anybody talk to me like that in my life. You can't believe what he called me. I said, I told you, brother. I told you.
Oh, my God.
We're all standing over there. I love that
story.
Yo, there's one that was better, the best one. What one of the ones? And these things just have to fall into place. It's just, and you got to capitalize while they happen. And we're playing the Giants up in Meadowlands, and it was a preseason game, and we had this big tackle as a rookie that year, big defense tackle, Mike Charles. He was like 305 pounds, and that was back when there was very few 305 pounders. Mike was a big guy. And so anyway, we're playing a preseason. Well, Mike played at Syracuse, so he's back. We're up in New York. He's kind of in his home turf. And we're up there playing, and he's up there, and we're winning the game. There's like 6 minutes left in the game, and we got the ball, and Mike Charles is over there, and he doesn't have his helmet. It's over on the bench. And I looked at Lyle and I are sitting on the bench just trying to find something to do. And I looked and I said, look at Mike Charles. He doesn't have his helmet on. And I said, and that's like one of the golden rules. Never not know where your helmet's at. Always know where your helmet's at. So I eased over and I grabbed his helmet and I stuck it under me. And I said, and Lyle goes, well, we need to teach him a little lesson. So he walks up to Mike Charles, and about this time, as fate would only have it, our offense stalled, and they were sending in the field goal team. And Lyle goes, Charles, get in there, like a coach. And Mike Charles goes, oh, my gosh. And he didn't hear what he said, but he heard him. He's supposed to go in. So he starts, well, where's my helmet? And I've got his helmet. And so he's freaking out. And so I ran over and I said, here, Mike, here's your helmet. Well, that was enough diversion. He didn't realize it was a field goal team going in. So he goes running in, putting his helmet on. And there's Strock trying to hold, moving on, job and ready to kick. The whole field goal team and Mike Charles standing right in the middle of them, going, kind of like, what the heck? What am I out here for? And Shula came out of his skin yelling at him, what are you doing, you stupid ass? Somebody called my name, And the best part of it was, that's that goes over with, we fly home. We have special teams the next day. We're watching field goal. There's the field goal team of Mike Charleston. Oh, Shula chewed him out again. Somebody called my name, Coach.
Oh, Glenn. I was going to get into all the other stuff with the Killer Bees, but I just knew that's just like.
That was fantastic.
It's just such a teaser of everything. Before you go, and we're way over, we just absolutely, but the stories are just great. Someone asked you about the bakery family that used to be great about bringing in birthday cakes for all the special occasions. I just happened to be in there that day and a big, beautiful, delicious birthday cake. And Mike Kozlowski went for a nice big piece of cake, but the Blackwood brothers got to it first. You guys.
Lyle had lifted up the two-layer cake and squirted this aqueous gel that you put on your arm to conduct sound. It was nasty. It looked like filling, and he cut a nice little hole out, stuck it in there, and then he put the cake back down and re-iced it a little bit so it didn't look like it had been tampered with. And Kaz took a big bite of it. And all I saw was him walking to the bathroom, and he was going, wah! Oh. He goes, that's messed up, man. Except he didn't quite say those words.
Oh, you are so childish. Glenn, you and Lyle. And Lyle, I mean, God bless Lyle, man. He is. Glenn, thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. It's one of those great guys and great. We don't get to hear from you enough except when you're in the Orange Bowl. I want to thank you, by the way, before you go. When we went to drug testing for the first time, I want to thank you on behalf of half our team that you took the drug test for. Thank you so much as we're all passing. Thank you.
You saved the team, Glenn. Well
you
done.
You saved us. Yep. It could have been a lot worse, but your clean pee took care of a lot of guys. You haven't been thanked enough because the numbers could have been a lot worse for Coach Shula to find out how bad it was on our team.
So God.
Thank you, Glenn. It's very special. Thank you so much, Glenn, for coming on this morning, man. We appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Y'all have a great day.
All right. Glenn Blackwood, former Dolphin safety.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
How about that for just a little teaser?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.